Excuse me, yes, this is the operator, and the recordings have begun.
Okay, well then. So, welcome everyone to this CCWG accountability meeting number 4 on December 30, in 2014. So, everybody, I believe, has already have the agenda to review, and, well, we'd like to welcome you, and, of course, we'd like to go and go ahead with the roll call. Chris, could you please help me with this?
Thank you, Leon. As usual, we'll do the roll call based on the Adobe Connect participants, but if there's anyone on the phone line who's not in the Adobe Connect room, could you please share your name with us now? Okay, it sounds like everyone is in the Adobe Connect room, and we will do the attendance based on that. Thank you very much. Back to you, Leon.
Thank you, Grace. On the first agenda item, which was the membership updates, we don't have anything relevant to inform, but also we need to remind everyone that hasn't completed their SOIs or updated their SOIs to kindly go to the wiki and update SOIs. I am aware that many people have contacted Grace to create wiki accounts, and since ICANN is closed right now, we'll have to wait for ICANN staff to get back to us. But as soon as you get your wiki account, please go ahead and update your SOIs. So... I believe these are the updates we have so far on which class of membership updates and, well, of course, the SOIs updates. So I will turn now to Matthew, I believe, for the working area updates, or is it Thomas?
Maybe, Leon, this is Matthew speaking. Hello, everyone. Could you maybe update, share with us the latest exchanges we've had with the in order to engage with the advisors?
Oh, that's true. I'm sorry. Well, yeah. The co-chairs had a meeting, and we wrote to Theresa Swinehart for her to help us engage with the advisors early enough as to have them involved with our work and be able to provide advice on the track we're going right now. So this email was just sent, and we're waiting to hear back from Theresa. So as soon as we have an update from Theresa and know what's going to happen with the advisors and when are we going to meet with them so as to engage them with the working group, we will update you as well. Oh, I believe Theresa, yes, she's on the call. So, Theresa, would you have any updates on these?
Yes, Leon, thank you very much. I received your email this morning for the U.S. time zone, and I'll be responding, and we're reaching out to the advisors that have now been confirmed and selected in order to first brief them and then also to identify a time for a call and to begin their engagement with us. So we'll be following up very rapidly, taking in light also the holiday time frames for their response.
Thank you very much for that. So we'll be waiting to hear from you. And, well, then now I believe I turn to Matthew.
Thank you very much, Ian. Good evening or morning or anything that would be appropriate for your time zone to everyone. I would like to start our items regarding the work area updates. And so we'll obviously hear updates from each of the work areas. Starting without further ado, probably with work area one, I have noticed David is on the call, and I don't think we have Samantha on the call. David, could you share with us an update of hard work is proceeding, and maybe what's still to come?
Yes, this is David Maher. We're working on expanding the current chart of the accountability inventory. Suggestion has been made regarding the contracts between ICANN and the registries and registrars, which I believe should be added to the list. There has been no further discussion on that issue, but I believe, the major issue at the moment. Thank you.
Thank you, David. Indeed, there were a few exchanges on the matter on the list. Does anyone have questions or comments for Work Area 1, which I remind everyone is in charge of an inventory of the existing mechanisms, accountability mechanisms within ICANN? Please raise your hand within the Adobe room if you have any comments. Yes, Mr. Arastek Adams, please.
Yeah, Kavus here once again. Good time. Do we have any deadline to end up the inventory, because we need to put some time to that and get to the remaining part of the issues after inventory? Just a question whether we should have some time limit on that. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Kavus. David, would you like to reply before we take on Tijani's question?
I'm afraid I don't have an answer to that.
Maybe what I can say is I think the latest deadline I would see would be that we should definitely close this line of work by the time, at the latest, when we meet in Frankfurt, would be my suggestion for a deadline. We need to be as comprehensive as possible, because it's absolutely key that we can refer to existing mechanisms in the most comprehensive way. But I think by Frankfurt, we would need to be clear that we are confident we have listed almost anything that exists. So my answer to the deadline would be this one. Tijani?
Yes, thank you, Mathieu. Tijani speaking. I have made this morning some comments on the Work Area 1 table. I don't know if you received it, and if you received it, I don't know if you have some... I would not say answers, because there wasn't questions, but there was comments.
I'm sorry, I have not had the opportunity to review them.
Okay, no problem. Thank you.
Yeah, I'm confident they will be taken on board, Tijani. Thank you very much, by the way, for your detailed comments. Despite missing the call, you've obviously caught up with everything that happened since last week. Okay, so I think we're making good progress with Work Area 1. We already have an impressive set of mechanisms, and it's certainly going to be extremely useful for us to assess the current situation in our future steps. I do suggest we move to Work Area 2. I don't know whether Steve is on the line, Steve Del Bianco, our coordinator. Action item has a big echo here. I was mentioning that we had a couple of action items, including one for Avery Doria as ATRT past participant to cross-check the document and add recommendations if need be. And I think the discussion I've also carried on during the week. Steve is mentioning the latest document in the chat room. Please, Steve, you have the floor to provide us with an update.
Thank you. I think this will be a quick update to leave room for the other work areas. On Sunday, I circulated to all of you a list of seven updates to the work area 2 inventory. We didn't get from Avery this accounting for the ATRT items, but I'm certain that Avery will pass that along soon. And when she does, I'll circulate it. But what I included for work area 2 was three things the chairs asked me to flag as items that the IANA stewardship co-chairs had wanted us to flag as CWG items. And I see those in red and in bold, and they're on page 1 of the inventory. The one is the notion of an independent review panel, which could be appropriate for IANA functions, and the bottom two on page 1, which were independent certification for the delegation and redelegation requests. Of course, that's in the IANA naming function. And the other was an independent appeals panel for a contested change to the root zone or to who is. So I know that, Matteo, you had asked me for a whole new column to indicate those three items, but I do hope that you can accommodate your request with me just flagging them this way, because there isn't really room for another column for only three rows to be flagged. The second update is that David Johnson was a topic of our conversation a week ago, because David had done a blog about potentially a new contract capability. He had also said that he thought that this group had made progress in areas that were probably overstated. I reached out to David right after the call and reiterated that we were very early in our exploratory process, so we hadn't reached any conclusions. And then I challenged David to join this process, not from an outsider putting up blogs, but as an insider. And he agreed, of course. David wants the right thing for this outcome. So David contributed another item to our inventory, and you'll see it at the bottom of page 1 under Workstream 1, and it's to create a new contract, not an existing contract. It would be a new contract between ICANN registries and registrars, where registrants would be third-party beneficiaries, and this would be a contract that would limit ICANN's ability to impose binding rules to only those matters that were supported by consensus. And it also talks about potentially sending disputes to our independent arbitration panel whose decisions would be binding. David clarified to me that this is not instead of the permanent cross-community member group. No, instead it would be something in addition to that. So it wasn't meant to be something instead of it. The third item was that Izumi and Athena noted that a couple of items should go to Workstream 2. I had incorrectly noted that they also supported those items, but they didn't. They only suggested we move them to Workstream 2, and I added some of their wording changes. Malcolm Huddy had me move an item to Workstream 1. This was an item on ensuring that ICANN's board can be held to its bylaws. Daniel Castro of ITF and Wisdom Doncor, they asked for some new transparency rules called the Open Data Transparency Rules, and they requested we add them to Category 3, Workstream 2. Just two more items. Guru Achaira added an item for Category 1, Workstream 1, which is another accountability contract between ICANN and Contract Co. Now, remember, folks, Contract Co. was an entity being proposed by the CWG for the IANA naming functions. It wasn't something that our group came up with, but it's certainly a crossover item. And Guru had asked that the affirmation of commitments that we have today be replaced by a new contract, an accountability contract between ICANN and Contract Co. So because I'm trying to be the rapporteur for this inventory, I put that in there. I would have wanted to see if we could potentially merge that with what David Johnson had proposed, but Guru didn't see it the same way because it involves Contract Co. instead of registries and registrars, right? So the entities are different. Now, finally, Carlos Gutierrez added 4 new items for Category 3 of Workstream 2. So those are on the bottom of the last page. Mateo and Thomas, I'll stop there and take questions on the progress for Workstream 2.
Thanks a lot, Steve. There's a lot of work being done under Work Area 2, and we are starting to have quite an impressive list. And I'm very pleased to see that there is the progress that we were mentioning, the ongoing work we were mentioning on contracts within Work Area 1 is reflected as well in Work Area 2, and I think it's a good sign for the consistency of our work. Tijani, was that an old hand or a new hand that you were raising? That was an old hand. Avery? Well, next on the line.
okay, thanks. Can I be heard?
Yes,
I'm
you can.
I'm assuming I can be heard.
You can.
Okay. So, anyhow, in terms of attaching the ATRT values, when I went to yesterday is when I went to do it, and I went to the WA2 page. I did not see this latest document reference there, and I guess I didn't get put on the mailing list until today. But what I did was I attached a bunch of the ATRT2 references to the only thing I found there, which was the issues identified by staff document. Now that I know about this document, I'll add those references to this document. This document isn't referenced, however, on the wiki page at all. So I'd recommend that it get marked there so that people can find it when they're looking for it. So I did do some original, which I guess now are just a rough draft, but I did attach something to a previous document, but I'll attach things to this next. Thank you.
Steve, is that you wanted to follow up on that comment?
Yes, please. Aubrey, the document, document draft 5.1, it is referenced on the Work Area 2 on the wiki. If you're able to navigate to that wiki page for Work Area 2, you'll see it right at the top.
I'm on that wiki page.
And it's the very top item for Work Area 2 documents. You see it dated December the 28th. And it says, Work Area 2 Accountability Suggestions, Draft 5.1. Aubrey, to make your life easy, though, I'd like to email you the words.
I'm looking at that page. I do not see it. So we obviously are looking at different pages. We can deal with it later.
And Aubrey, to make it even easier, I'm going to email you the Word doc version so that you can annotate the Word doc instead of the PDF.
Oh, well, yes, that would be good. Okay, I see it's not a wiki document at all. Okay, I guess, so send me a Word document if it's not there. Thank you.
It's there as well, but I'll email it to you. Thank you.
I don't see it. Sorry. I just don't see it.
I think we'll manage this. Alan, you're next.
Thank you. 2 points. The first is one I made in email. I understand these are just essentially, suggestions, not necessarily work products for us, but I really think we need, for everything that goes along with Workstream 1, a rationale for why it's linked to the IANA transition. I see a lot of good accountability issues there, but I personally have a hard time understanding why the transition would need to be delayed because it's not there. So I think we need to be careful that we're not loading up Workstream 1 with things that people want but are hard to connect to Workstream 1. We're almost at the stage where we're not going to be able to accomplish our goals because they're so large. And the second one, which is sort of related to it, but it applies to Workstream 1 and 2, is I think we need to, as we're looking at this list of suggestions, to realize that we're not going to try to do everything. There's a lot of overlap there, and one of them may replace the need for another. So hopefully we're going to have a lot of discussion to try to come up with a reasonable set of accountability measures that will address the concerns of the community, but not, overburden us with things that don't really get us farther along. So thank you.
Indeed, Alan, I think your suggestion for a rationale to attach a particular item to Workstream 1 was mentioned during the last meeting. And Steve, I don't know whether you've been able to make any progress on that side.
This is Steve, and my attempt to answer the rationale is done in the description for what has to be in Workstream 1 versus what could be in Workstream 2. And I guess I have attempted this several times, and it may be that the group is not satisfied with what I'm giving you in terms of a rationale. But to make it ever so simple, the rationale we're proposing is that we need to put into Workstream 1 any accountability enhancement that we believe the board would not accept if it didn't have the leverage of the IANA transition. In other words, Workstream 1 are for those items that give the community the ability to oversee the board and management. All other items can be moved to Workstream 2, since once the community has those powers, it could probably accomplish a number of the other accountability mechanisms after the transition. So that is an overall rationale, and with that overall rationale, I honestly haven't seen the need to repeat that next to each and every item where WS1 or Workstream 1 is designated. But the current layout of this inventory suggests that most of the items in Category 1 are Workstream 1 because we need those accountability powers before the transition is concluded. So the only linkage to the transition, Alan, the only linkage to the transition is that the transition of IANA is our last best hope to force ICANN's board and management to accept community oversight that they would not otherwise accept. And that is why we put them in Workstream 1. It doesn't have to map to something that was in the IANA contract. It doesn't have to map to any element of oversight that NTIA had previously been doing. This is simply our opportunity to let the community have what it always has wanted, which is oversight over ICANN's board and management.
Thank you, Steve. I think they will. You have a very clear view, Steve, and you've repeatedly stated it and written it down in your contributions. I think what would be useful for the group, and I'm turning to Alan or others in the group, is if there are alternate views on what should be Workstream 1, Workstream 2, please provide alternates. Please provide other views so that we maybe, if there are other options, that they are clearly stated and that we can examine the merits and of each of them. We have quite a long queue, so I'm turning to Caboose now.
Yes, first of all, thank you, Steve, for the good work, hard work that you have done. You referred to several entities such as independent panel, review panel or appeal panel. These are the things that have been proposed by CWG. Are you taking those items from CWG and explore them, elaborate them, and putting in the in your group, or you have a different? Because all of what you have said, I have already seen in the CWG. And there is an issue, or not issue, there is a publication from ICANN that opposing, for instance, for that contract committee, and saying that this is superfluous and this is overlapping, for which they have asked that that should be put in the agenda to discuss. So are we not having some overlap with the CWG, or are we taking the results of the CWG in consultation with Avery and then put it in your group and try to address whatever is possible for Workstream 1, which has high degree of priority to be sent to the ICG at the appropriate time that I will discuss, and I sent a message to Matthew 2 hours ago to specify the deadline for that, because ICG is waiting for that, and we need to have a formal communication to ICG informing them whatever information they expect expecting from us for the transitions, not only on naming, but also numbers and the parameters and a few other things will be made available at that time, and that time should be specified. But now I come back. Are you taking some of the proposals from CWG and elaborating them, or you starting from scratch, or what? The similar idea. This is not clear for me. Thank you.
Matteo, should I answer?
Yes. Yes, please.
Yeah. Caboose, our charter was quite clear that we were not supposed to look at anything to do with the IANA functions, the naming the protocols or the numbers. We were to look at overall ICANN accountability. And as such, we looked at overall items of ICANN's accountability to the community, things like bylaws, changes, independent reviews, public interest, and none of those have anything to do with the naming, protocol, and numbering functions per se. The overlap occurred because some of the proposals coming out of CWG called for review boards to evaluate whether ICANN was doing an adequate job of exercising the IANA naming function, for instance. And if they did a contract, they might want to have an entity that could sign that contract with ICANN. So the conversation starts to mention review board in multiple places, but the review boards are completely different. In the CWG, they may well have a very small function review to see whether ICANN is doing the IANA naming functions correctly. They wouldn't look at everything that ICANN was doing in the name of accountability. They would only look at whether ICANN was doing the naming functions correctly. And if it were not, they might send it to a review. They might change where the contract goes. But I think the chairs will reiterate that that is not for our working group. Our working group is not supposed to get in the way of what the particular naming functions accountability is. Now, the chairs of the CWG did ask us to add three items to our inventory because they felt that there might be broader implications, and I covered those at the beginning of the phone call, and we did add those to ours. But we are not going to elaborate on things that the CWG did, since they are very narrowly looking at whether ICANN can be properly held to account at the running of the naming function. And we are looking at something far, far broader than that. And I would ask the chairs to weigh in, too, as the keepers of our charter, because Caboose is asking a very important question, and we will definitely put our work at risk if we don't clarify the delineation between the CWG and our group.
Thanks, Steve. I think you're right to remind us of our charter, and it delineates the work of the CWG versus our own group. And I'll pick up on one of the items mentioned by Caboose, that who indeed sent Thomas and I a few hours ago a request to consider whether we should contribute to the ICG. I will park that that question, because we have an update, a point later on regarding the interrelation with ICG and CWG, which I think would be more appropriate to address this. And I do concur with Steve that we need to be interrelating with those processes, but mindful of our own charter on that topic. Next in the line is Paul.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Oh, great. Well, then I just want to make two quick points and then ask the chairs a question. The first point is just to kind of associate myself completely with the statements that Steve has made about the linkage of what he defines as Workstream 1. I think Alan's definition of tying it exclusively to the IANA transition is far too narrow, and it will be unless and until the board and ICANN agree that the IANA function is all that they're going to do. Whenever I speak to them, they say that they have rights to do more than that. The second point I would make Also, sort of in response to Alan's, but it's it was a bit of an undertone, is that the NTIA Assistant Secretary Strickling, the CEO of ICANN, Mr. Shahadi, the chair of the board, Mr. have all said repeatedly that the September 2015 date is a goal. It's not a deadline. So if we actually reach a point where we think we need more time, I think it's perfectly incumbent upon us to say that. And so we should bear in mind that we don't need to narrow our accountability measures exclusively to the IANA function if all that we're trying to do is meet an artificial deadline that everybody involved has said doesn't actually matter. And then that actually leads me to the third thing, which is more of a question for the chairs and a question for guidance from the people who are actual voting members. At some point, somebody is going to have to define whether or not the board is going to accept some outside monitoring component and what the nature of that is going to be. And depending upon how the board expresses that agreement, or disagreement for that matter, that will define what the nature of our accountability agreements are. If the board were to say today, we will restrict our activities of ICANN to the IANA function, then a lot of what is in WS1 doesn't need to be there. So my question for you is at what point is it appropriate for this group to bring to ICANN essentially the binary nature of our considerations so that they can help us narrow down what we're trying to achieve? Thank you.
Thank you, Paul. I'm not sure I'm in a position to answer your question yet regarding what point we will be able to narrow things down and exchange with ICANN on that topic. I'm taking note of your question and we'll certainly try to address to provide some kind of response, even if it's I don't know so far, by the end of this conversation or before we close. Jonathan,
it's not actually your question to answer. It's ICANN's, right? In the long run. So all I'm really suggesting is that you should ask it.
Okay. Jonathan? Jonathan, you're next in the line. Maybe you're on mute. Grace, is there an issue with Jonathan's line?
Mathieu, this is Grace. Not that I know of. Jonathan, we can provide you with a dialogue if that's helpful. I'll contact you in the chat.
Okay. While we're sorting this out, I suggest we move on to Greg, who is next.
Thank you, Matthew. Greg Shatton, for the record. Some of what I was going to say has already been said. I thought that Alan's filter for what should go into Workstream 1 was both narrow and a little bit off target. The charter for this group notes that implementation and operational accountability for the administration of the IANA functions are within the scope of the CCWG, or are not within the scope of the CCWG because they're being dealt with by the other group. So, by definition, anything that deals with IANA functionality and accountability is not Workstream 1 or Workstream anything. It obviously needs to be interconnected, interdependent, coordinated with the CWG, but it's not Workstream 1. So Workstream 1 can't be anything related to IANA operational accountability. It needs to be things that are related to broader ICANN accountability, but that this group, for whether it's reasons of leverage or reasons of linkage, are needed to be in place before we get to the transition point. And also wanted to respond briefly to one other point, which is the issue of timeline. This is, obviously a timeline is a big issue, and not just in this group, but in the CWG as well. I would just encourage the two groups to coordinate very closely before either group makes any dispositive decisions about how to deal with the current timeline. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Greg. Anon, do we have Jonathan sorted out yet?
This is Grace. We're still working on Jonathan. If we can come back to him, that would be great.
All right. Great. We'll come back to him. Anon?
Thank you very much. Just for clarity, I was not referring to anything related to IANA operational functionality and accountability of that. That is the CWG's job. I was making reference to ICANN accountability to make sure that it is a good steward for the function, not carrying out the function itself. I must admit, I'm very ambivalent. I may have raised the issue of leverage and that the leverage the IANA transition gives us to effect change of accountability in ICANN in general. And I may well have been one of the first ones to mention that, and I'm very sympathetic to it. At the same time, our charter says things that must be in place to effect the transition. And although I do not want to lose out on an opportunity to get really good accountability, I have a bit of trouble using the leverage argument alone as the reason for including it in Workstream 1. I would far prefer to find getting agreement with the board in a more general way and limiting the things in Workstream 1 to the things we really do need to effect the IANA transition and not use purely as leverage. If leverage is the only, if doing it under the IANA transition leverage is the only way to get it, then maybe so be it. But I really think that's a distortion of what we're supposed to be doing in Workstream 1. Thank you.
Thank you, Alan. Jonathan, I think you're on now.
I am. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you perfectly.
Oh, great, great. Sorry about before. I hope I haven't lost the thread here a little bit, but I just wanted to come in back on top of Alan's comments about connecting the accountability mechanisms to the IANA transition. I mean, and I this may come down to how it's worded in the charter, and we talked a little bit about this in the chat, but I think in addition to the functions themselves, there's come to be a general recognition that there's some leverage associated with the IANA contract and being in a position to revoke it. And it's that leverage that that is needs to somehow also be replaced by something else. And I think that's how things are being put into Workstream 1 by Steve and by the conversations we're having online is, you know, what are the things that are sort of minimally necessary to capture that leverage? Because I think in all likelihood, Workstream 2 is going to be an ongoing effort over time that will get prioritized by the community, but without the leverage in place to bring about those reforms, I think there's a fear in the community that they won't happen. So just some of the simplest things, like changing the charter to allow for a membership type of a structure is a pretty straightforward thing that would, in fact, completely change true accountability within ICANN. And I think we can keep the list very small in Workstream 1 if we can really capture that, that leverage. I mean, I think as we go through the inventory of existing accountability mechanisms, I think we'll probably reach the conclusion that there aren't any. And the reason there aren't any, despite the list being very long in the inventory, is that the essential leverage necessary to empower their use is missing. They're circular in nature. And so breaking that chain and creating true accountability is going to be a function of one fundamental reform that will, in fact, create open the door for further reforms down the road.
Thank you, Jonathan. Sebastian, you are next. You appear to be muted.
Yeah. Is it okay now?
Oui.
Okay. Merci. Yeah, I wanted to raise a few points about this discussion. The first one is that we try to set up, or some people suggest to set up a lot of processes to be up on top of the board. My point is that the board is selected by the community, either directly or indirectly, but at the end of the day, all the board is composed by the community. Then if we don't trust the board, we don't trust us. We don't trust the community. If we want to change the way the board is elected, we can open this discussion. I have no problem with that, but I don't want to try to find processes or things to be done on top of the board because we don't trust the board. And I think we need one way or another to open the discussion about why we don't trust the board and what could be changed. And it's not because we will add any other groups on top of that we will solve this trusting issue. I heard that we have time because there is no deadline. But it's not because we have time that we need to put topics and eventually more topics, because we say, yeah, it doesn't matter because we have time. No, we don't have time. We don't have time because we know that if it's not done by September next year, I can say next year still, or some months after, it's not just it will be done later. From my point of view, it will not be done at all. And maybe it's what some people want, is that the IANA transition don't take place, the IANA stewardship transition, sorry, don't take place. But please don't add topics. And if we don't trust the process to handle the workstream 2, maybe we need to find a way to ensure that it will be done and use some tools like ATRT 3 and to decide that all those topics must go through a process like ATRT 3 because you know that it must be discussed. We know how it will be organized and we know that the board has 6 months to deliver and to decide on that. Then we have some insurance about the deadline, the timing after that. But please don't put too much on the first stream, which is to help the transition of the IANA stewardship. Thank you.
Thank you, Sebastian. Just reminding that the current work is an inventory of ideas and that does not preclude that we are going to address everything. So at this stage, I think we are trying to see as broadly as possible what are the inputs from the community, and we'll certainly have to focus later on. Cavus, you're next for your comment.
Yes, Mathieu, I'm very sorry. This discussion is very helpful to make it clear that we do not have the same understanding of CCWG. Work stream 1 in the charter says, focus on the mechanism enhancing ICANN accountability that must be in place or committed to within the time frame of the IANA stewardship transition. So work stream 1 is there. So we have to do something. And I don't understand Sebastian saying that don't put any emphasis on work stream 1. This is the first priority that we need to do by 15th of December or around. That is important. The second one is beyond that, we have sufficient time and elaboration. So still, the situation is not clear. The people, they speaking against the charter. The charter says work stream 1 is IANA transitions. For naming, you take it from CWG. For others, I don't know where you take that. And you have to do something on the three, plus the others which are outside that three, for instance,
root zone management and so on and so forth. You have to give something on the accountability required for transition to ICG. If you don't do that, ICG will not be interested in the overall accountability. They will be interested in accountability required for the transition around 15th of September. And you have to give it at some time, end of January, I don't know, 15th of February, I don't know. But work stream one is part of your group, part of your work. Why you should not put emphasis on that? This is point one. Point two, Sebastian referred something which I am not very comfortable. He says that we don't trust the board. This is not a matter of trust. It's a matter of principle. The board, they are selected or elected or designated to some other mechanism which is not directly from the community. We are not objecting. We have full trust on these people. But let us talk about the principle. We are talking of designation, we are talking of election, who elects them, how they are elected, what are the principles of elections, and so on and so forth. I don't think that we have to invent something. We have to be very clear. Please kindly clarify all of the situation. First, concentrate on work stream one. We have to see what we will give to ICG. We take accountability on naming from the CWG. We have to put accountability, if any, for the number. Accountability, if any, for the protocols and parameters, accountability, if any, for the root zone management, and put them all together and give them to the ICG. And I don't know why they say that don't put any emphasis more on the stream one. Thank you.
Thank you, Carlos. Can you reassure everyone that Workstream 1 is definitely part of our group? We'll have a discussion later on regarding the relationship with ICG, which I have a different reading at this stage, but I'd like to contain our work right now on this discussion regarding Workstream 1, Workstream 2, and I promise Kavis will come back on that later on. On the line, I have Becky. My suggestion is to close the line after Thomas so we can move on to the next work area. So, Becky.
Yes, thank you. Perhaps you were suggesting that you want to move on and discuss this topic a little later, but I find that this discussion about the sort of Workstream 1, Workstream 2, what accountability mechanisms must be in place for the transition to take place is a sort of critical discussion, and I think that we may be confusing ourselves a little bit with the words, because I understood the community very clearly to say that there were certain basic and fundamental accountability mechanisms that needed to be in place for the community to feel comfortable moving forward with the IANA transition. That may or may not be directly about the IANA functions. And so when Steve uses the word leverage, I think it would be helpful for us to think of this in a slightly different way, which is, we may not be able to build all of the accountability mechanisms and make them mature and robust, but we must come out of this with the tools in place that will allow us to continue the work of building accountability. So rather than thinking of this as leverage, I think it might be helpful if we say, what we need to come out of Workstream 1 is we must ensure that the community feels comfortable, that we have the tools in place that will enable us to continue and complete the work of creating accountability. I think that that is consistent with what Steve is saying, but I wonder if using the word leverage is confusing the conversation, and whether maybe tools thinking of it in that context will be more helpful to the community. But, I mean, the bottom line is it's not just about accountability for IANA functions. It is, you know, what are the tools there that will allow us to complete the work of creating real and meaningful accountability.
Okay. Thank you very much, Becky, for this constructive comment. Athena?
As for me, I agree with Becky's position, as I wrote it. And keeping in mind, there is another aspect I would like to bring in. Keeping in mind the whole the fact that the Charter of Civil Rights is about mechanisms that should be placed within the time frame of the IANA transition and so on. So the time frame is important. And I think some accountability items, they require some technical changes, for example, amending the bylaws. And I suppose that there is a certain process established for that. And there might be like specific dates or there might be a specific time frame required for these changes to be approved and so on. So it would be useful to have some estimation from IT staff regarding time restrictions and processes for these technical issues. Thank you.
Thank you, Athena. I think that you're rightly raising the point of what is firmly committed to actually mean, and that's certainly a topic that we'll have to address. Steve, you have the next comment.
Thank you. This will be quick, and I wanted to reply to Cavus and Sebastian. Cavus, you quoted from our charter about the need of Workstream 1 to be done within the time frame of IANA transition. But nowhere does that charter indicate that September 15th is the only date that fits into that time frame. That charter was written acknowledging that while September 15th is the goal, and we all want to achieve it, it's entirely possible to defer and extend the IANA contract so that that transition occurs 6 months or several months or a year later than that, and therefore we still get into work stream one within the time frame of transition. So our charter does not have a date certain of September 15th, but it does say that we must try to get work stream one in before the transition occurs. And Sebastian, I really believe that I wanted to reply to your notion of trusting the board. Please understand it's not about the individuals. And Cavus said that it's about how the individuals are selected, but it's not that either. Our bylaws are very clear, and I've pasted them into the chat. The bylaws require that no matter who elected the member of the board, the moment they become on the board of directors at ICANN, their duty is to the corporation. Their duty is to the interests of the corporation and not to the entities that elected them and not to the community that they came from. The ICANN corporate organization has saw fit to give the corporation representativeness, but not the community. There are no shareholders for ICANN, and given that it's a nonprofit corporation, section of the bylaws was written to exclude recognizing the community as members. Because a lot of us run trade associations where the members are just like the community, and the members hold sway over the board. All we are seeking to do in Workstream 1, several of us, and of course it's not the consensus of this group, is to restore unto the members of the community the powers that the articles always anticipated. And we don't have those powers today. So it's not a matter of trusting the board. It's not a matter of changing the way we elect them, because no matter who they are or how they were elected, they do not represent the community the minute they're sworn in as directors. They're supposed to take care of the corporation, to make sure the corporation is on a sound footing, or that the corporation doesn't get sued for taking a very tough, unpopular stand against the contract party. That's what we have to change as a result of creating new structures and new accountability mechanisms. Thank you.
Thank you, Steve. Sebastian, if you have a very, very short answer, but I think we're touching on a fundamental debate here, and it's not our ambition right now to close it.
No, but thank you, Mathieu. It, just to say that I have not the same reading of the bylaw. It's not when somebody is elected, selected, whatever word you want to use to the board, is not belonging from one community, but he is belonging to the whole community. And yes, I know that in the bylaw it's written the corporation. I don't like this word at all, but for me the corporation it's ICANN, and ICANN is the overall community. And I don't think that it's the board members are not belonging to the community at all. But I agree with you, Mathieu, that it's a very important topic, and we can't solve it in 2 minutes and by a call, but maybe it could be a good part of the discussion in one of our next face-to-face meetings. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Sebastian. Jonathan?
Yes, thank you. I think the entire conversation about trust takes us down a rabbit hole that's unproductive. I think the bottom line is that we shouldn't have to rely on our trust of the board, and that is the very nature of accountability. So I think it's a mistake to ask the question whether or not we trust the board, but simply put structures in place so that that trust is not necessary because true accountability mechanisms have put in place in the place of trust.
Thank you, Jonathan. You sympathize with this view. Thomas, you have the last comment, and then I will try to wrap up with some action items.
Thank you very much, Mathieu. I'd just like to get back to an earlier stage of our conversation where we discussed the introduction of Workstream Zero, things that definitely need to be in place versus those items that need to be firmly committed to. And I think that we need to, or maybe we should pick that up as we further define the document that Steve and his colleagues produced, because I think there is some confusion even amongst the Workstream 1 items as to which of those need to be worked on as a priority matter, or priority matter, first priority matter, and those that can subsequently be worked on. So I think that this needs to be further defined. I think that some of the items currently flagged as Workstream 1, for example, when they relate to the registry and registrar agreements, can't easily be completed before the transition takes place, because the current contracting parties have ongoing contracts which can't easily be changed. So it might be unrealistic to get that done prior to the transition. And I guess there are more examples in the document, which is why we as chairs have asked for working further on the rationale so that we maybe can differentiate between items that need to be instantly worked on and implemented and those that can be implemented subsequently. Also, with respect to the trust issue, I tend to agree with Jonathan that we will have a hard time if we talk about trust or distrust in the ICANN board. I'd like to remind everybody that at the very outset of our work, or even during the drafting phase of the charter, we've been looking at statements that have been made by Lawrence Strickling relating to the differentiation between Workstream 1 and Workstream 2. And one of the asks was that Workstream 1 items should be those preventing ICANN from being hijacked or going crazy. I'm paraphrasing here. But I think that it has been a request by the NTIA for us to ensure that the board doesn't do strange things. And if you look at the communication that has been going on for the last couple of months, not only in this group but also in other fora, I think it becomes quite clear, at least that's my observation, but you can advise me otherwise, that the community, the wider community, not only the ICANN community, does see the need for some sort of oversight mechanism, whatever that might look like, to ensure that the ICANN board cannot operate more or less in isolation. I think I leave it there, but that's just to stimulate a discussion that we should continue, maybe even under agenda item number 4 during this call. Back over to you, Mathieu. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Thomas. I'm conscious of time, and we certainly need to move on, but we're really touching one of the key issues we will have to deal with early on if we want to be able to fulfill the expectations in terms of timing. And the proposal I'm making is the following. Is one, what we'll try to do, based on the transcript, based on, of course, Work Area 2 proposal, and is to recap the various options and views that we've heard regarding Workstream 1, Workstream 2 options, and start a discussion on the mailing list on that topic that we could update on by our next meeting. I am also taking on two points that I think we need to act on. One is to be more clear about what firmly committed to means in the context of the definition of Workstream 1, Workstream 2. What kind of commitment would we consider as firmly committed to by so that the transition can happen? And I would like to ask whether staff could identify a list of options for that could be shared on the list, and so that would start initiate some discussion regarding alternative options. Obviously, not an exhaustive list, but at least we could start discussing whether we believe it would be a firm commitment or not. And I would also like to ask staff to act on Athena's proposal, which was to give us some indication about the timing of implementation for various kinds of options that we see in the Work Area 2 document, bylaw change, how long does it take, if we want to change the contract on the GTLD, can we do that, and so on and so forth. And at the various items that I would like to suggest we take on so that we can come back to this discussion with more relevant information at our next meeting, and at least my goal would be to come back to that later to have a very clear view to present to the community by Singapore about what is Workstream 1, which means that we would certainly make this one of the goals from the Frankfurt meeting, that we come up with an agreement within our group about how we see it. So that would be my proposal to move forward. And I hope this is capturing most of the comments. I would like to also stress for the notes that I've noted on the chat a proposal by Bruce Tonkin, our board liaison, that there might be a value in a public meeting in public in Singapore regarding issues such as this one, as well as how the board would accept or reject proposal coming from our group. And I would take on the action item for the co-chairs to liaise with Bruce and the board to try and organize this. I think that really shows the value of the Work Area 2 proposals, that we've been touching so many of our key issues. But I suggest that we now move to Work Area 3, which is the relationship with the CWG naming. And Avery has provided a new document on that matter. So, Avery, if you can provide us an update.
Sure. This is Aubrey speaking. First of all, the work in Work Area 3 is starting. In fact, the bit of a document that's there now was just put up yesterday. So basically what this document is just a beginning of a list of issues that have come up in the CWG discussions that relate. Now, because of the state of where CWG is in terms of just going through comments, and I'm not going to go into the detail of that now, but that may be on the schedule later, but so I haven't gotten into specific issues, but did record at least three issues that have struck me. Perhaps they're more at the meta level of issues that have been discussed in CWG that pertain to CCWG. And in fact, we have been talking about them already. So, you know, there were issues like a lot of discussion there on the deadly embrace between our two parallel tracks. In a sense, stewardship, needing to know about, you know, what will change in accountability workstream one, and the accountability group needing to understand what sort of model is being used for stewardship. And in the conversations in CWG, and I believe here, we keep sort of pointing to the other, and I've used the terminology that comes out of a function that basically keeps waiting on the output of another function, and they're each waiting on each other by deadly embrace. And so that's definitely been a concern there. Using different words, it's obviously a concern here. One of the issues that discussed a lot is the effect of separability or lack thereof on accountability solution requirements. And the question that comes up there and here also is, does that move items between Workstream 1 and Workstream 2? And I think we've just had some of that kind of discussion here. That discussion also going on in a sense, a mirror reflected in CWG. And then the other thing, which is a meta issue, is the whole structural alignment between the efforts. Now, this is a wiki list. It's open for, you know, the people with wiki accounts, both those in Work Area 3 or others to add to it, to tell me to add to it, to tell me to change what I've sort of seeded the list with. And as the CWG moves further in sort of having consolidated the comments and deal with the issues that come out of it, you know, there will obviously be other issues to add to that. We discussed whether, sort of started the discussion, whether we needed to have meetings or just work on the list and in the table. And for now, I think we're going to work on the list and in the table. If there's a need for a teleconference, then we'll schedule one, but that's an open issue. But at the moment, we have not scheduled one. And that's it for, you know, an update of where we are on Work Area 3. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Avery. Any comments regarding Work Area 3?
Yes, I have a comment, please, or a question.
Yes, please, Kavus.
Yeah, my question is that the output or outcome of the CWG on naming, whether that outcome or output goes directly to ICG or comes to our group, and after that to our group goes to ICG, or it's the output of the CWG goes elsewhere. So I would like to know the path in which the output of the CWG will be included in the process, directly to ICG from the naming issues, or to us to ICG, or to elsewhere. This is not clear for me. Thank you.
Okay. I think that relates to... Avery, you wanted to comment. Please go ahead.
I can't speak authoritatively on it, but my assumption from everything I've heard is that while there'll be coordination and that the chair groups of the two, of the CWG and CCWG, are discussing, that the CWG stewardship would go to the chartering groups for their approval, but then go to the ICG. That is my impression, but of course I don't speak authoritatively.
What I can add on this, we've been coming back and again to this relationship between CWG, ICG, and our group. The ICG issued a request for proposal that is specifically addressed to operational communities, including the naming community, to provide full responses to the whole RFP. And therefore, the CWG, from my understanding, and I think Teresa here on the call can confirm, as she's been obviously observing the whole process, the CWG will answer, will submit a response by mid-January to the ICG, and we will keep in close cooperation with CWG and ICG to make sure what we come up with within our group comes in a timely fashion, both for CWG and ICG, in order for the transition to take place at the earliest moment possible. So we are mostly running in parallel with ICG, and bearing in mind that our work is very much interdependent and interrelated, but there is no need for the CWG to go through us before submitting to the ICG. And we, as a group, my understanding is that we do not qualify as one of the respondents to the RFP by mid-January. But I'm fully open, and I would I think it would be appropriate to put this in the action items that we make sure that the co-chairs could engage with Alyssa Cooper, the chair of the ICG, copying our two liaisons, Keith Drazek as well as Caboose, to make sure our understanding is shared with the one from the ICG leadership, so that there is no confusion or misunderstanding on this matter. Teresa, would you like to add a comment?
Just Matt, the way you summarized it is absolutely correct, that the CWG on the naming is the operational community input into the ICG process specifically. The work of this accountability cross-community working group is looking at the broader issue of accountability in the context of the changing historical relationship with the USG. And while it's very important that there's close coordination in light of the transition and work stream one, this work here is not going into the ICG. This work here is the accountability work that comes up with the recommendations, comments from the community, and obviously a public consultation process, as you noted, some very close coordination, and then also provided to the board. And at the Los Angeles meeting, the board had also adopted a resolution on how it would look at the recommendations and move that forward. Larry Strickling has made remarks recently, also published remarks on the NTI website, which we are happy to circulate, which reiterates and notes the importance of the relationship between both the work of the ICG proposal and the work stream one of the accountability work, so that they should be in close coordination with each other. I hope that helps clarify, but Mathieu, you summed it up very well.
Thank you, Terry. Mm-hmm. So I really think we are going to take the action point to make sure that this vision is shared with the ICG. And, of course, this is one of the items that we coordinate already on a very regular basis with Jonathan Robinson and Lisa Fuhr for the CWG as well. I see no other comments, so I suggest we move to work area four. Unless I'm mistaken, I think Eric Brunner-Williams, our coordinator, is not on the call. And so I will just briefly update about what has been happening and that I've seen. First of all, Eric is still making progress. We're still lacking in an initial list, but this is something that hopefully can be done in the next few days, and probably that we could remind as an action item for the group to come up with a list that could be shared at our next meeting. I think there's sufficient material now to provide this. I would like to also mention that in coordination with Eric, as co-chairs, we have engaged with Bruce Tompkin, our board liaison, in order to request from the board risk committee the list of identified risks that would qualify as contingencies that they are using on their on a day-to-day basis as a part of their risk management framework, so that we avoid duplication of work and make sure we are not missing out on one of the key risks that this committee has been considering in the course of its work. Currently, we have an initial feedback from the risk committee, which is rather positive. So I'm hopeful that beginning of January, we might be provided with inputs from the board's risk committee. Any questions regarding work 3 or 4 that we would convey to Eric and the group? No questions. So I think we are completing our review of the work areas. And I will now turn to Thomas for the item regarding the coordination between CWG and ICG, coordination with CWG and ICG. And of course, we've touched on that already, but Thomas, please, you have the floor.
Thank you very much, Mathieu, and welcome everybody again. In this agenda item, I think it's important for us to understand where the CWG stands. As you know, there are regular coordination calls between the co-chairs of the CWG and the co-chairs of our group. So we've done this over the last couple of weeks, and the next coordination call is due to take place on this Friday. But today, I think, was a quite critical day in the work of the CWG because the public comments have been analyzed, and I think it would be helpful for this group to understand better where the CWG currently stands and what the impact of new developments on our work would be. You will remember that we were provided with a list of potential areas of overlap between the two work areas, and this may or may not have changed. So I would like to ask Avery to get her microphone unmuted, or Greg or Cheryl, if she wants to pass on to them. But before I do so, I see Kavus's hand is raised. So, Kavus, you have a brief question.
Yes. I'm not sure what Teresa said I understood. She said that there is no link between CCWG, Work Stream 1, nor Work Stream 2 with the ICG. Is that correct?
Kavus, can I ask for us to take this question offline? I think if there is a different understanding of what the ICG's mandate is and how the work of the CCWG as well as the CWG is interrelated with that, and if the responses provided by Mathieu and Teresa have not been satisfactory, I think we should take that offline and do that in writing, if you agree. I think it's easier for us to get a reassurance of the view with the ICG leadership and then follow up on the list. I hope this is acceptable, Kavus. I think with only 38 minutes left on this call, I think we need to get to the other agenda items.
Yes,
so if I could, is that okay?
Yes, it is acceptable to me, but it is not a matter that I'm speaking as a representative of ICG. As a participant, I would like to know what is the relation between the CCWG and ICG. As a participant,
yes,
because I have to reply to the community. I have been asked this question. I was not able to answer that. Thank you.
Thank you, Kavus, and your point is well understood. But I think since this is such an important issue, we can't risk any ambiguity in our responses, so we will respond to you in writing and for everybody's benefit on the mailing list. So thank you for your patience with this. So let me move to Avery to give us an update on the latest developments with the CWG.
Thank you. This is Aubrey speaking again. And yes, for sure, there are people participating in this call who have as better, if not better, knowledge than I do of where we're at, but I'll give my overview from the, you know, the WA3 sort of perspective of watching. Today was really quite a interesting meeting in that we got the first draft of the analysis of the comments. Now, textual analysis is going on. Everybody is still in the process of reading the comments, and there are many pages to read. But what also staff and a small analysis team has been working on is pouring through those comments and doing an analysis of the answers in relation to specific questions. For example, questions on the complexity, questions on contract clause, questions on customer standing committee and whether it's multi-stakeholder or not. And there's a list of, I guess, 16 different categories that various levels of analysis are being done on, both in terms of positive with restrictions, negative, broken down by individuals versus group, broken down by GTLD, CCTLD, et cetera, to try and get a better picture. There also came up during the meeting that there are other groups that have been doing external data analysis of it that will also be contributed into this mix to try and understand it. And then, as I said, there's been discussions on sort of lexical analysis of the comments. When I read the comment, you know, this way, it says it agrees. When I read it that way, it doesn't. So that conversation has been going on. Now, in the discussions, various realizations perhaps have come through that from the mainstream model, which people have been commenting on in the CWG submission, there were also, other than that mainstream, there are also other models proposed in response to that, and started to look at the similarities and commonalities between those things. And while deciding on which areas are trending, which responses are trending favorably versus not, look at those areas, whether it's a customer standing committee or a multi-stakeholder review team, what would the functions of those be? Because you look at the various models, and it looks like there are analogs of various functional modules, I think was the word that was used for them. And so starting to look at those things in greater depth, starting to look at other places where the models may be somewhat analogous to each other, but group things differently and such. So that level of analysis has also started. So I'd say that the main effort at the moment is in the analysis, the understanding. Then the next steps will be to sort of dive deeper, to respond to the comments, and to look for the commonalities between the various models and the various comments. Also within another one of the areas, people have started taking the various models, not only the mainstream model, but there's work going on to subject them to some of the stress test analyses and see how they respond to various issues. So the work is ongoing quite intensely. You know, we've already had various groups, I think three or four meetings over the last 2 days. We have a bunch more coming up. And perhaps the others would like to add more to it than that, but that's pretty much the overview of where I see us being in the CWG at the moment. And as I said, we did have those issues that of sort of the same question that keeps coming up is, what is the relationship with the two? So that does keep coming up as a question. Thanks.
Thanks very much, Avery. Can I invite Cheryl or Greg to add if they wanted to?
I've got nothing more to add, but Greg may do. Thank you, though, for the offer.
Thank you.
It's Greg. I think that was an excellent summary of where we're at. The group will continue to work with several subgroups going on simultaneously and heading toward a high-intensity work weekend starting Friday night, the 9th of January, and 10th and 11th. So I think we are working on continuing to find different ways to try to get as much out of the comments in terms of guidance as possible. I would also say that the issue of timing is not one that the CWG is immune to as well, as we look at what we have to do and the time we have to do it in. But at least at this point, it's full steam ahead. Thanks.
Thanks, Greg, Gerald, and Avery for the update and your willingness to inform this group. I know that not only you but also others are under the pressure of following both groups at the same time. I think it's one of the benefits that we have that we can tap on the expertise of those that are actually engaging in both activities or observing them. We have considered in our preparatory meeting amongst the co-chairs whether we should follow up on an idea that was mentioned by Steve Del Bianco during the last call. You will remember that we were talking about the timeline and our communication with the CWG leadership and when we could potentially come up with a first preliminary assessment. And we got the impression that it was felt by the CWG that we might chime in too late for them to incorporate our thinking into their proposal. And Steve Del Bianco brought up the idea of putting together some general statements that could be published. And we were wondering whether this is actually something that this group would be willing to consider. It would be an extra piece of work, certainly. We think we should only do it if there was a need expressed by the CWG. So if the CWG felt that some very general statements could help them in their work, then we would suggest that we start a conversation about what such general principles could look like. I think this sort of seamlessly relates to the discussion that we had a little bit earlier during this call about the distinction between Workstream 1 and Workstream 2. And I mentioned during my last intervention there that it was at least my personal observation that a lot of community members thought that there was a need for external oversight of the ICANN board of directors. Now, at the moment, we do not know where the naming community is going to steer this, i.e. whether there's going to be contract co or whether it's an alternative solution that might be considered or published. But we thought that it might be helpful if, let's say, there were a consensus amongst this group that some sort of oversight mechanism or entity is needed, regardless of what legal form that might have or how it's constituted or what exactly its mandate is. But I think it might help the CWG to determine whether what they're doing might potentially be out of sync with what we might come up with. So these could only be very high-level principles, and we would like to hear from this group as to whether you think this is useful, and if you do think so, then we as co-chairs would further explore this in our next call with the co-chairs of the CWG. A queue is forming at presently. The first one in the queue is Cavus. The floor is yours, please.
Yes, Thomas, thank you very much. I think a general statement would be helpful if we also refer to the approaches, because the concept is to have some sort, you said, some sort of mechanism of oversight that could be mentioned, and then going to the approach, whether it would be contact call or whether it would be some other approaches. It would be good if we have the possibility to describe various options for further discussion, but just talking about overall oversight without talking of approaches, I don't think. You have to also talk, what are the, in our view, in view of the CCWG, what are the approaches? Contact call or something else? It would be good if you could have that one and send it to them in time. Thank you.
Thank you, Cavus. Alan.
Thank you very much. I strongly support the kind of suggestion you're making on some general statements, but with some caveats. And I made a similar statement in the CWG meeting earlier today. I think that that cannot come purely from this group. It's got to essentially come along with it, the statement that what we're proposing is legally possible, because we're still in this never-never land of not understanding exactly what we can ask the board to do and what they can't do under California law. And we really need to address that really quickly. And second of all, whatever overall concepts we come up with, I think we would need accompanying it a statement from the board that it sounds reasonable. You know, it's not a guarantee that they're going to accept the details, but at least an overriding statement that says they're in agreement with the general concept. Those together, I believe, would be extremely helpful to the CWG. Thank you.
Thanks, Alan. Steve.
Thank you. In terms of a statement, I believe it has to be general, but it still has to give an example that has meaning. And here's what I would propose. We should tell the CWG we are actively considering legally permissible mechanisms of redress and review where the community can override decisions of ICANN's board and management. If we are successful in that regard, we accept the fact that that same mechanism could be used to address matters that are unsatisfactory to the protocol, numbers, and the IANA naming function. So, for instance, if the CWG is looking in the IANA naming area and they create a review board that concludes that ICANN is not doing an effective job of the root server functions in the naming, they might conclude that ICANN needs to change the way it does its policies. We want to send them a message that the mechanisms we are trying to design would be ready-made to receive that problem, to review that problem, and to be able to, if we have the right legal underpinning, to be able to force ICANN to listen to the IANA naming community and make a change in their policies consistent with community interest. So mostly what I'm getting at is, let's be specific about the kind of mechanisms that we are trying to come up with. We don't know if they're legally sound, but we think they may be, and that if we're successful with creating them, they would be a very convenient way for the protocol numbers and naming communities to hold binding decisions and redress and review over the ICANN contractor. And I think that would help them a great deal so that they won't have to design many of the very same redress and review mechanisms completely on their own. Thank you.
Thanks, Steve. I guess you hit the nail on the head, because we do want to make sure that there's no friction between what the CWG asks and what we might produce. So if the same mechanism, entity, or whatever it might be, can have a catalog of things that they are that they can work on, then items necessary for the naming community can be added to that list, but we would still have one holistic approach that could serve both needs. Greg.
Thank you, Thomas. Greg Shatton, for the record. The concern I have with what Steve says is that it sounds great in theory, but that it's at such a high level of theory that I don't know how the CWG could really rely on it. Certainly the CWG has, you know, spent time thinking about mechanisms that would have the same attributes as those mentioned by Steve, and ran up against a lot of difficulties in trying to figure out how those could practically exist, which is in part how we got to the solutions that are currently in the draft proposal. So suggesting that you're going to design this great bulletproof mechanism is kind of like telling someone to wait for the time machine that you're designing. Although, frankly, I think I'm not saying it's impossible. The time machine is probably a bad analogy. But there's definitely a lot of detail and a lot of considerations and slips that go between knowing whether anything that you know has those attributes is possible and what it will take to make them possible. And so without some level of concrete understanding of how those would be possible, it's still just a dream. Thanks.
Alan?
Thank you. I'm going to say with some frustration, it's time we got beyond a discussion of what we think might be possible under certain laws or things like that. These are facts which we should be able to get out in the open really quickly and determine what are our possible options. This is getting really, really frustrating, having half the community saying, nah, it's not allowed. The other one said, how do we know? And then other people saying, yes, but even if it's allowed, the board would never agree to it. I think we need to stop the conjectures, especially on things that are based on pure fact, and get on with the real work. Thank you.
Thanks, Alan. I see no further comments at this stage, and I'd like to close the queue here because we have two more agenda items to deal with during this call. Let me just add a few points that have come up during our co-chair's preparations. We can only come up with some general ideas or principles at this stage because the discussions that we have are not advanced enough, not mature enough, have not been discussed with the various communities whose representatives are on this call. So I think we can just come up with preliminary general ideas that still we think can help the CWG as to what direction things will most likely take. Greg, responding to your point, I guess even a general statement can help the CWG understand that our group will most likely not come up with recommendations that propel solidly around I can take care of itself. So the acknowledgement of the need of some external oversight is, I think, a major pillar of whatever concept we might come up with. So even if the details are not fleshed out, I think such general statements can be of huge value. Also, I think we think it would be good for us to publish a statement that could inform all those that are currently working on proposals, so that we can show to the rest of the world that we're making progress and that we're not ignoring the developments taking place in the CWG or in the naming community, I should say. In terms of timing, you will remember that we have agreed that we would not make decisions in one call. So we need to be pretty fast if we wanted to come up with statements before the working weekend of the CWG starts, which would require us to take a pen and write up some general statements very, very soon so that we can further inform the group after our call with the co-chairs on Friday. If maybe some expectations are voiced by the CWG leadership, we would share this with the group so that we can refine the general statements that we have worked on by then. And then we will need to see whether there are objections to the proposals that have been made on the list during next week's call. And if that succeeds, then actually we would have something that can be published before the working weekend of the CWG takes place. I think with that, I would like to end this agenda item. I see Cavus' hand is up. Cavus, can I ask you to make it very brief?
Yes, Thomas. I have heard three times that the people, they are doubtful to make any proposal because they may not be accepted by the board. Why we have such a line of thinking? Are we not going to propose something for the improvement, redressing the situations of accountability, or are we just talking to please a group of people? Why we saying that it will not be agreed by the board? Why? On what basis will not be agreed by the board? Why from the very beginning we prejudge the situations? Thank you.
Thank you, Cavus. And with that, I think we need to end this this agenda item, and I would like to hand back over to, I think the next item is dealt with by Mathieu again. So it's,
yeah, that's going to be me again.
Over to you, Mathieu.
Thank you very much, Thomas. The next agenda item is about the face-to-face meeting. We thought it would be valuable to start exchanging about expectations regarding this meeting. By expectations, we do not mean anything detailed in terms of agenda or anything, but rather what kind of where we want to be at the end of this face-to-face meeting. But before we get into that, I'd like to turn to Grace to give us an update on attendance and maybe a couple of logistic items. Grace?
Thank you very much, Mathieu. This is Grace Abu-Hamid for the record. I've uploaded a document now into the Adobe Connect room where you can see who's confirmed so far. So far we have 24 people who have confirmed attendance to the meeting. Three of those people are are participants or observers. The rest of them are members. I note, my apologies, sorry. So we're still missing confirmations from two members, and then the Izumi has confirmed that she will participate but not in person. So that's the update in terms of membership attendance at the face-to-face. I'm going to ask that everyone please confirm by the 7th of January whether or not you will be able to attend in person. As usual, we will have the remote participation room and the phone lines. Everyone will be able to attend remotely. But we just need to know for logistical purposes, such as, arranging seats and finding a room, how many people will be attending in person in Frankfurt. So if you have any questions about that, please contact me directly, and I can help you, with any information about the meeting, logistics, et cetera. Thank you. Back to you, Mathieu.
Thank you very much, Chris. It's good news that we have good participation, and I hope we can have good news from those pending confirmation. So the point we wanted to raise very briefly now is what expectations we would have for the face-to-face meeting so that we can start preparing very actively towards the organization of Frankfurt in terms of content of the meeting. And I will obviously open the floor for ideas at this point, but so far there are, I think, three or four items that I see, and I'd like to share with the group to get feedback. One is there's a lot of work to be finalized on the scope and definitions of our work. For instance, what is the purpose of accountability? Who should I can be accountable to? What the different terms of the definition mean? And this is something, as co-chairs, we are working currently on a draft proposal to be circulated, and I think it would be great to have that finalized so that the foundations of our work are clear by the end of this meeting. So that's number one. Number two, there's this discussion about Workstream 1, Workstream 2, and I think we should aim at having a clear proposal of what is the two streams are about, and maybe a bit of a vision of what should be the outcome of Workstream 1 by the end of Frankfurt, so that we can get feedback on this during the Singapore meeting that comes a couple of weeks later. Number three, I think we should be able by Frankfurt to take work area one, assessing the current mechanisms, work area two, the different expectations, and work area three, the CWG expectations, together to start doing some identifying what are the priorities. There's a close relationship with Workstream 1 and Workstream 2, obviously, but somehow providing some form of conclusion to this, the works of these work areas by the end of Frankfurt. And in the same category, I would say that, I would like to have a list of contingency agreed on by the end of Frankfurt so that we can also get feedback from the community on that. Obviously, some of these items may be closed before Frankfurt, but I think that's the point I would like the group to reach by the end of the Frankfurt meeting. I think that would at least position us so that we can discuss with the community in Singapore and start working on the details in Carver. Any feedback on those ideas for the face-to-face meeting? Obviously, this is not we're far from taking decisions at this point. Bruce?
Yes, no problem with what you have suggested. It's really an ambitious agenda. But when we discuss the possible review of the bylaws and the review of the affirmation of commitment, inclusion of that into the bylaw or not, and similar issue like this going to the governing provisions or rules or arrangement to the system apart from what you have mentioned. These are the important issues that we have to discuss. Do you have any idea of that? Thank you.
Thank you, Kavus. I would tend to refer to the milestone and timeline that we've been discussing in the last couple of meetings, that these kind of discussions in details would take place after that, once we have identified that it's a priority and has to be in Workstream 1. And so that we would clear the way to ensure we can get to work on that, that kind of discussion, provided that this is the conclusion we reach.
Okay.
I have next in the queue is Tijani. Are you muted, Tijani?
Yes, Mathieu, thank you. Tijani speaking. I think that we need to work on the mailing list during next week before the next call. We have to work the table of the work area two, because Steve has kindly put everything inside this table, every suggestion, everything. And I think we need the consensus about what we have to keep and what we have to move, or perhaps what we have to add. I don't think there is something to add, but what we have to keep and what we have to move. also we have to start discussing and have a consensus about what is what has to be put in the work stream one. We already began the discussion, but I think that we have to start trying to have consensus so that when we go to the face-to-face meeting, we will have work prepared. Otherwise, we spend very long time on those issues that can be solved, in my point of view, on the mailing list. Thank you.
Very very good comment, and I refer you to one of the conversations we've had earlier that this discussion regarding Workstream 1, Workstream 2, we'll try to kick some discussion on the mailing list so that we, by Frankfurt, we have already had a number of comments and exchanges and are mature for trying to find common ground between us. Cavus, I assume this is an old hand.
I had a question with you, and you said that you're asking some clarification. I provided you the clarification. I don't know at what time you raised that issue, that whether it would be under the any other business or before we reach the end of the time. You remember the email that we have to together exchange, and you asked me some clarification on the matter of the latest publications of the ICANN board for public comments. Thank you.
Okay, I suggest we'll address that, if we haven't already, by the any other business. If there are no other comments, the action item I would propose on this item of the agenda is to circulate with the notes the potential outcomes from the Frankfurt meeting for comments, and so that we try and test the waters on that by the next meeting, and that we, as co-chairs, will investigate how to get preparations ongoing for the content of the meeting in the next few days. That closes item number 5. I will now turn to Leon for any other business and the closing remarks. Leon?
Thank you very much, Matthew. So is anyone that has any other business to bring up in this call? Okay, I see no one raising their hand or calling for any other business. Is that okay? That is Cabus.
Yes, I have noted the recent ICANN document for public comments relating to, I don't know whether they refer to the outcome of CWG or outcome of CCWG. They refer to the contract co, and they commented that this is a duplication, and I sent two comments on that, mentioning that irrespective of the nature of the comment, maybe at this stage it would be too early to issue a document for public comments, because ICANN, they have members in the at least CCWG or liaison, and indirectly in CWG, they could, if they have any comment, they could raise it and allow the people